Hi, and welcome to Talkward. I'm Marty Dundix, the editor-in-chief of Weekly Humorist Magazine, and I'm here today with James Fulton. Whoop, whoop. James is a comedy writer, comedy performer, artist,
so far so good,
and just an all-around super-duper guy.
Thank you.
So thanks for coming on the show, James
of
Fulton.
Of course.
This is
thanks
Talkward.
For having me.
No problem. I met you because you're a contributing writer for Weekly Humorist.
Yes.
You're a writer for New Yorker.
Yes.
McSweeney's.
Mm-hmm.
American Bystander.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What else is
those
in
those are kind of the big hits. I perform at the at
are
the
there
UCB.
Smaller ones that are smaller hits?
Yeah, there's a few like one-off places that I sent like one piece to and then they like folded, or it was like a blog and it was dumb, or like the editor was a dick and so I didn't write back. Like there's a number of places.
Are there a lot of bad editors in the comedy publishing literary world?
I would say no, but I think I've probably met all of the bad ones. I think for the most part, the people that stick around are good, but there have been a couple people, like there was one guy I sent a piece to and he was like, this is great, we'll take it, we're running it next week. And I was like, okay, awesome. And then the day before he was running it, he sent me his punch up was what he called it, but he had rewritten the whole thing. He literally kept my headline, deleted the thing, and then was going to run it under my name with like his rewrite, which was worse. And
that's
I was like
bullshit.
It was crazy. And I wrote back and I was like, this isn't what I wrote. And he
right.
was like, I know, I took a pass at it. And I was like, this isn't a pass.
Right.
Like you liked my headline and were like, I think I can do this.
Well, I mean, like, I you know,
and as, that's a bad
as
editor.
A comedy as a comedy editor, I and maybe it's because I'm just lazy.
Sure.
I take the talent, which is you or anybody that sends really good content.
Yeah.
And I say, this is great. I want to run this. I have no interest in taking someone's comedy and changing it and
yeah.
then publishing it.
Right.
Like I think that's a lot more work. I don't want to do that.
It's a ton more work.
I would
yeah.
rather just get something that I like, accept it, and publish it. I don't take stuff that I don't like and then try to change it.
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
It was
just,
crazy.
Boom. Like the reaction
yeah.
that I get to a writer when something is good is so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's not like I have to ponder.
No.
You just know
it's
when
up or
something's
down.
Fun.
Yeah, it's up or down.
Yeah, it's up or down.
Yeah.
Exactly. Is that like old Roman times when we're deciding
yeah, no,
if we
yeah,
kill
for,
somebody?
For those of you who are listening and not watching through the window, yeah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Are we going to kill them or let them
You're
live?
You're
going to
kill the piece.
Yeah.
Are you
yeah.
going to let it live?
I don't know.
Yeah. You're a harsh Roman emperor.
That's, you know, things have gotten a little bit more civilized, but ultimately, still kind of mean.
But yeah, I've hit some bad editors. It's been But yeah, so there's some smaller hits on my old website that you
And
can...
you are you're how old are you?
I'm turning 30 this year. It's my
Hey, congratulations.
When's the Doble Quinceañera?
When's the birthday?
December 18th.
December 18th.
Yep, week before Christmas.
I'm December 7th. We're sad.
Uh-huh. What does that mean?
It means that we get combined birthday gifts for like Christmas and
the Sagittarius days. Is
yeah.
crossed to bear.
Yeah.
Which in December is the second most famous cross bearer that was born that month.
Oh, yeah. There was another guy.
There was another guy.
I heard about him.
Yeah.
He's sort of famous.
Screwing up my gifts.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, no, December, I love the winter, so it's nice.
It's going to be a disastrous winter here.
Really?
I think. I don't know. It just got, it went from like, it felt like 80 degrees and humid this morning, and now it's like 50 degrees.
I know.
So I think it's going to, I think we're going to skip fall, and it's just going to be a blizzard.
Oh, God.
And then we're going to be frozen until April, and then it's going to thaw, and then, you
immediately
know,
thaw. It's going to go right to 90.
And then the dinosaurs are going to come back, and then it's going to be terrible. The world's going to, I mean, like, already, look. Trump's been president for how many months? Not even a year. And we've had 1,000 different horrible things happen in this country.
God, I know.
And right now it's on fire, or it's getting destroyed by a hurricane, or it's, you know, racial tensions, or white supremacy rising up out of nowhere. Like, we're at the point now, I feel like, at the later part of Ghostbusters, after the ghosts have escaped
oh, yeah.
From the firehouse and they're shooting out of the top of it. I feel like that's where we are.
Like
right
they're
now.
Still shooting out. And
yeah,
we're like,
yeah,
when are they going to stop shooting
yeah,
out?
Like,
and then we could start taking care of them.
Right. Like Walter Peck just shut down the containment unit.
Right.
It blew up. Bill Murray said, you know, this guy's a dick or whatever. And then the whole place blew up and then the whole New York City got destroyed. We're like there. I feel like that's where we are.
Yeah. We still don't know how many ghosts are out there that we need to like start handling.
Yeah.
Like we got to wait to get the full count of ghosts.
We're going to get into an Uber. All of a sudden the Uber driver's a ghost. And it's like.
That's your millennial update too. Yeah. Slimer's an Uber driver.
For the millennials out there,
yeah,
we're going to update this movie so it is relatable to you. But now you can summon the ghost with an app, and it makes so much more sense.
And nobody understands how much work it used to be to get a ghost. I mean, I'm on the verge of being crotchety.
Yeah, you're old.
I'm old.
At this point,
I'm basically dead.
You're done. Ugh. No one's interested in talking to you.
Oh, geez, I know.
They're like,
tell me about it.
Oh, you're 17. Oh, well, you know, what are your opinions on comedy and acting? And, do you have any scripts you want us to read? You're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
If I haven't already made it, the only thing that people want to hear from me is, baby, when's the funeral?
Yeah, you're done.
Can I get an invite to the funeral?
So you're very, I mean, other than writing a bunch of places, you're also very active in the comedy scene in New York City. Mm-hmm. You're like a UCB performer.
Yeah, I do improv at the UCB, which is...
And do you have a troupe?
Yeah, so I'm on what's called Herald Night, which is...
Herald Night's very popular.
Yeah, very popular. It's I'm on a team called Moose, and there's eight of us. And
Moose!
I think
I saw you promote that on the Facebook.
I did, yeah.
You're so... I mean, that's the thing I was admiring about. You promote interesting things that you're doing in comedy all the time.
I try to.
How do you have that much energy? I feel old and tired.
I mean,
and I'm running like a magazine and people are sending and stuff and I'm doing podcasts and I feel like I can't possibly do anymore. And you're doing like 1,000 things a day.
I drink a nightmarish amount of coffee.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I try to wake up and hit the ground running every morning.
What time do you wake up?
I set my alarm for 7:15, and I'm usually out of bed by 7:30.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. Yeah, and I try to like get to my desk and like get writing by then.
And you work from home.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are your clients when you're not doing the comedy stuff, writing for magazine stuff? Are you doing like advertising writing?
I do some advertising writing, yeah, okay. Which is like...
Copywriting?
Pretty much, yeah. I've been doing a lot of like scripts for Facebook videos. So like of like 40.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's
like for brands.
Kind of. Yeah. So
did you see that Dove soap disaster?
Yes.
Wasn't that terrible?
What if I said that was me?
I would love it.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be a fine idea to have a dark-skinned woman change into a white-skinned woman to show how clean she would get.
The stuff about that is like,
are you kidding me?
That's also literal. That's like literally. How Dove soap used to be marketed.
I saw
like when, famously
when you
racist.
Saw it online, they were like, "Do you remember when you did this?" And they showed something from like 1920.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit! Like, this was really
check
racist.
Your archives.
Yeah, they're like, this was like, you know, basically blackface to wash off.
Yeah,
wash off the race to make it super ivory white, and it was. It was just like horrible, and to see the like 1920s or whatever the cartoons, and then see it next to something that happened like last week.
Yeah,
you're like, we've come zero
nowhere. It's gone from an illustration and like curly Q fonts to like Helvetica and a GIF. And the thing that always gets me about that is there wasn't somebody in that entire chain. Like you think of like the process that it
took.
Yeah,
how many
people
saw this?
And nobody was like.
There's production people. There's actors.
Yeah.
There's makeup. There's lights. There's camera. There's editing.
Then it goes
there's
to the everything. Social media team.
It's like no one said anything. Like because the second you saw it, you're like, this was terrible.
Oh yeah.
It took 2 seconds to realize that this was a horrible idea.
And the thing that's even more dispiriting is that surely somebody was like, hey, maybe we give this a second look.
Don't call me Shirley.
Okay.
No, but seriously.
But seriously, and don't call me seriously, because I'm a silly guy. But like nobody, like somebody was surely like, this doesn't pass the smell test.
Right.
And someone else was like, you're dumb, I'm smart, it's going out.
Yeah.
Which is like, I assume Mr. Dove Soap, who stamps everything.
Anyway.
Yikes.
So you're doing copywriting.
Doing copywriting.
Obviously not
doing
Dove.
Improv, not doing Dove. Yeah.
I did copywriting one time for Cascade.
Interesting. Wait, what's Cascade?
Cascade is a...
That's a soap, too.
You live in New York City, so you don't have a dishwasher, I assume.
No, it's all by hand.
Right.
Keeps my hands soft.
Very good. But Cascade is like a pellet that you'd put... Or it's a powder that you put in the dishwasher, and it washes your dishes. But I had to do social media copywriting for Cascade. And it was fun, but then Cascade hated everything that I wrote.
Really?
Yeah.
Talk about tough editors.
I thought it was funny. It was like, I can't remember the idea for it. Basically, the idea was, I hate unloading a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
I'll load a dishwasher, and I'll run a dishwasher, but I would rather hand wash all the dishes than to have to bend over and unload a dishwasher.
Yeah.
And it was like, the idea was like, you were like a dishwasher... I don't know. Horrible person. It was such a bad copywriting. I can't even remember what it was. But it was the hook was like you were like a, you know, dishwasher like
degenerate?
Dishwasher it was basically degenerate? Basically that, but it was like the person that didn't want to unload the dishwasher. Oh, probably the husband.
Oh, sure.
I kind of made it like a gender thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, that's great. And then like, they were like, yeah, the client hates it.
Oh God.
And they hate you. And I was like, I guess I'll just pay me my kill fee and I'll leave.
That's the other thing too, is like every experience that I had, people always seem so scared.
Because of Dove soap.
Well, but that's the thing is like, why is Dove soap the one? Like I've pitched, I'm trying to think. I did some stuff for like a shirt company. I pitched some idea and they're like, that's a little too spicy.
I pitched a ton of ideas that weren't going to ruin their company.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's the thing. It's like, out of all the ideas that somebody said no to me for, none of them were like, what if the soap changes a woman's race? like that, like out of every shitty idea I've had, they've never been that shitty.
Right.
And the reason cited is always like some sort of skittishness on the part of the client.
Yeah.
I think I use Dove soap too. I should probably switch it up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You got to use some Irish Spring.
Yes.
There's dirty Irish.
Yeah, they
keep you clean.
Yeah, the Irish can't be racist. That stuff smells weird though. I had a roommate who used that stuff.
It smells for days.
For days.
It's like a perfume.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could smell Irish Spring, even if the soap's not in the room anymore. If someone had used Irish Spring, it coats the walls.
This was in college and my roommate had left a bar on, I think like a heater, and it like I think it melted. Like it melted in the sun and from the heat, which gross. Like I didn't know that soap could do that.
Oh.
I guess it could. But anyway, it got into the heater, so our apartment smelled like, or our room, our dorm room smelled like
Irish Spring
forever. I mean, as far as I know, it still is.
So, what kind of clients do you copywriting?
I've done a lot of stuff for this one shirt company. So I
like Busted Tees.
I'm not sure that I'm allowed to say
it's okay,
but it is Busted Tees. Yeah. And those tees are busted as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those, actually, that would be a tough one to sell. Of like, do you want like an off-color 9/11 joke and a like female body inspector shirt on the same site?
Maybe.
These shirts are busted. No, it's like a nice like menswear kind of shirt thing.
That's
and the
nice.
Whole thing is like, you know, you're like commuting and you're like a sweaty guy, but you're also a working guy. And like, how do you reconcile the two?
Is it like an upscale version of like the tuxedo t-shirt? Which
you're
I have.
Really stuck on Busted Tees. No, it's like a button up.
Okay.
It's like a like
so
a,
it's not a t-shirt.
It's not a t-shirt. No,
it's
no,
like
no.
A nice shirt.
It's a nice shirt, yeah, for
well, that's nice.
For guys that are nicer than us, I think. That's a nice shirt actually.
It doesn't have any buttons on it, but yeah.
Oh. Is it a zipper? Just, oh, it's just open.
This is the pocket is fake. I think this is an Old Navy
nice
attempt at look having a nice shirt. But it's not a polo shirt. It looks like a pretend nice shirt. But yeah, the lapel pocket is fake. It's sewn shut. And I have a...
I've been trying to toss pens into it the whole
time. I have a nice... This is a jacket that I'm wearing. This is actually from... What's it called? Uniqlo?
Uniqlo. Yeah. They're the best.
Uniqlo is great, except for... It's I think it's from Japan?
Mm-hmm. But they just got bought by Gap, I think.
So everything's gonna get a little bit fatter.
Yeah, I think so. They're gonna get a little boxier.
They get a little fatter because the Japanese men are a little bit slimmer,
mm-hmm. Which works for me.
And you're very slim.
I'm a
slim guy.
I'm a trim gentleman.
You're very trim.
I'm a trim gentleman.
So I can't fit into any of the pants. And it's a situation where if I try on a Uniqlo pants, it's like I can't get them over my knees. Yikes. It's not like I can't get them over my waist. I'm like, my knees are too fat to wear these pants. And then you get embarrassed and you want to cry. But the shirts are okay. But I cannot wear the pants. They're way too slim. Like the hips on these guys, on you.
On me, yeah.
Just like,
whatever the
narrow.
Opposite of child bearing is.
What are you, like a 27 waist? 26 waist?
I wear a 28 waist.
Oh, boy.
Typically, yeah. Jesus. So you're close.
I know, and I was kidding.
I know. And you undershot it by one.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, no, I am.
So for the comedy plans, you do the UCB show. You're in the show called Moose?
Moose, yep.
Moose is your troupe.
Moose is my team, yeah.
And how long have you been with the Moose? And how many people are in a Herald?
So there's eight of us.
Did you start out in the UCB university school system?
The grad school, yeah.
Because that's quite a racket. The school system for UCB.
It's a bunch of money.
Because you pay a ton of money to be taught how to do comedy the way that they do comedy. Mm-hmm. And then you do you put together a troupe to do a show that you then.
Well, then
don't,
you audition.
Then you audition.
Then they do the thumbs up, thumbs down.
And then they either behead you or let you do the show.
Yes.
And you get paid no money.
I get 2 drink tickets,
which is like 2 beers.
Yeah.
And then they sell a ton of tickets.
Yes.
To make money off of you.
Yes.
And then what happens?
I get 2 drink tickets. I think I've already said.
But then...
They send out like...
But talent scouts go to these shows and they book you in like commercials and stuff, right? Like all these UCB people seem like they end up in TV, NBC shows.
Yes.
Lauren Michaels shows, Tina Fey shows.
They send out like casting opportunities and stuff. So they like keep you...
So you're in like an inside group.
Yes. Yeah. It's
okay.
Unfortunately, I'm not like trying to be a commercial actor, so it's
why not?
I'm not.
You're thin enough.
Yeah.
We've established that.
That's what people want. I could have been one of those Dove guys.
You're almost 30 though, so you only have about 2 months.
Well,
left.
I could start transitioning into like fun and fuckable dads.
It's true.
I've just sort of like.
Well, you need like a dad bod.
I guess that's true.
I've been perfecting my dad bod. For almost 38 years,
oh, damn.
Which is hard when you have no wife or child, but I'm trying.
So it's, what would that even be? Like an aspiring dad bod, but it's aspiring dash dad bod.
Yeah.
Because you got the bod, but you don't have the dad.
You don't have the dad.
Or the son or daughter, I suppose.
I don't think so.
No. But yeah, no, the UCB sort of like, I suppose, tries to pay it forward in opportunities.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Which is... Fine. It's fine.
Do you go to things like, what's the show? Oh, ASCAD. ASCAD. 3000?
Yes, 3000.
That's on Sundays.
It's on Sundays.
And they do 2 shows on Sundays.
Yeah, they do like.
One's a pay, one's a free.
Yeah, yeah. And they get good folks, like people who are in town for the monologists are usually very good. Like they get folks in town who are doing like late night shows and SNL hosts and folks like that.
Get to connect with those people because you're part of the network? UCB?
Not really.
Family?
I don't really go to ASCAT much anymore. I did when I first started out and I was like taking classes, but I guess I technically could probably get in for free. I can go and watch shows.
You can like show a card and you're like,
they just like UCB. The folks seem to know me. I don't know.
You have
a
badge?
I don't have a badge.
They should get badges.
No, they implant a chip in you. So
if they know where you are at all times.
As soon as you get out at the 23rd Street ACE, there's a drone that follows you.
They're like, are you talking to someone at Fox? You can't talk to somebody at Fox. Get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, we have an exclusive first look deal with NY1.
Yeah, or just NBC, or just Lauren Michaels, or Broadway Video. Above Average.
Rest
do
in
you,
peace, I think.
Have you written for Above Average?
I've sent them some stuff, yeah.
So what's the deal with Above Average?
I don't know. Because I don't know if they're still around.
No, I mean, I don't know how active they are.
Everybody got fired, though.
Was it a place where people got paid and then got fired?
I think so. I mean, yeah, they definitely had staff.
Okay.
But I truly think, like, as of a week or two ago, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but the rumor on the street I heard was that everybody got their...
Well,
Snips.
I mean, it sounds like, from a weekly humorous perspective, I get to deal with a lot of writers.
Yes.
That come from a lot of different places.
Yes.
So I have Above Average people, I have Bystander people, I have McSweeney's people, New Yorker people, Mad Magazine people, And they all just kind of write for me, and that's great. And then it's interesting to hear where what's going on with the other publications. Because, yeah. I mean, you know, I just publish stuff, and it goes places, yeah, or it doesn't go places, and that's fine. I get it. But when you hear about, like, I mean, like, Above Average is owned by Lorne Michaels. It's owned by Broadway Video. Yeah. They have all these, they have tons, it's of like videos. They have tons of stuff. So they've got money. You know, they've got stuff.
Yeah.
You know, or, like, Funny or Die people. Like,
yeah.
Like, we're in New York City right now, and New York City was half of Funny or Die up, mm-hmm, until about 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. And then they sent out a thing, and they said, everybody has to move to Los Angeles, yeah, or get fired.
I remember that. I remember getting drinks when all my friends got fired on Funny or Die.
They just got fired. Yeah, they're, yeah, just, yeah, like, you know what? No.
Yeah.
You're all gone.
It was crazy.
And there was the editor-in-chief. There's a guy named Dan Abramson.
Abramson, yeah.
Do you know him?
He's a good dude, yeah.
Recently a dad. I've been trying to get lunch or drinks with him for like 2 years.
I think he's in LA now.
I know he had to move, but he used to live in Park Slope, like right by me. And I reached out on Facebook, and I never heard back, and it hurt my feelings. But he seems like a really funny guy.
He's great. He's
all
super
of his content was super creative, he's super so funny.
Yeah.
And I was basically just trying to meet with him so I could steal ideas from him.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was a good thing. He didn't.
Don't
call
mind
me.
The tape recorder.
I know. I'm stealing this all from him.
Yeah, I don't know what the model is for a lot of, you know, a lot of those things where, like, are they doing video? Or are they doing, you know, writing stuff? Because the problem...
Well, it's all like, how does any of this make money?
Yeah.
That's the thing that you get into. You're like, I'm producing content. I'm making a magazine. I'm making a video site. But how am I going to make money off of this? Do I have to sell advertising? Does Old Spice have to sell hilarious ads with a man on a horse? Or am I going to get someone to pay me X amount per month to look at this content?
The subscription model. So or do you make funny stuff for Old Spice? Because I think that's the big thing, is the SponCon.
So that's the real... So that's what I love to do for my new sign on the wall, which is Humorous Media.
And again, if you're here, you could see. It's a beautiful sign.
I'll take a picture of it and put it on the website. But I think branded entertainment would be... It would be like copywriting. It would be like you.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be like you or like John Zeller. Or like those kind of guys, we get given a topic like Dove soap, and it's like, "Hey guys, write something funny that's not horribly racist." And you guys are like, "Okay, we'll try, but no promises." Because obviously, it's really hard to come up with something that's not horribly, horribly, horribly racist.
All of my ideas are comically racist. Just like, come on. Are you
saying I can't make somebody really, really dark and then make them really, really white? God, that gets rid of like 90% of my ideas.
I don't get how it relates to soap.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But, yeah, man. I mean, I'm not sure what... So, to get back to the original question, I did send some stuff to Above Average, but they switched how they were doing pitches, and I think I stopped at a certain point.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I'm lucky enough to get people to submit to Weekly Humorist. I think just because of the... It's just because of the company.
Yeah.
You know, it's not because I'm great at anything I do.
You also know a lot of people. Like, you have a lot of good connections.
It's like people like you. It's like you, and it's like Bob Eckstein, and it's John Zeller, and it's Kit Lively, and it's all these people that have Paul Lander, who have just decided, like, well, we're going to send stuff to Marty.
Yeah. That's great.
You know, let's just send stuff to Marty and he'll put it up.
And there are few places, too. That's the big thing.
So it's like I'm trying to embrace all of you guys who are like, we need a home for our content.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm being a home for the content. How can I figure this out? How can I make it into a business? But it's like, I'm not stuck looking for talent. Like, the talent found me, my job is to, how do I utilize this talent that I have found, you guys, and make it into a business where we can all make money off of it? So that's what I'm working on all the time.
It's a noble goal.
Whether it's, like, bystander people or New Yorker people, a lot of you are just like, here's some stuff, here's some stuff, here's some stuff, and it's great. Like, I'm like, great, whatever the New Yorker doesn't take, just send it to me.
Well, that's the thing.
You know, the second they reject something of yours, just forward it to me, and I will put it up like that hour.
Yeah.
Done.
It works for me.
It's great.
Yeah.
I love it. Ugh. So for art stuff, I've seen a little bit.
Yeah.
You on Instagram. What's your name? James Jams?
James Jams.
James Jams on Instagram, so go there. And you do like drawing stuff.
Yeah.
And a little bit of like animation-y.
Yep. Yep.
Is it like GIF type stuff?
Yeah, so I do I mean, that's mostly just sort of like doodling. It's like a little outlet for me. I've made a little bit
of
money doing
it. But you do it for Cafe.com?
I did, formally, yeah. Cafe is another one that switched hands recently. So I'm now working for their new editor, but I formally worked for their old editor, which I think was 2 editors ago now.
What kind of content are they? Are they, they're not comedy exclusive.
They used to be, and now they're more, so they're owned by Preet Bharara's brother.
Okay.
And now Preet Bharara's new podcast is cafe.com.
Okay.
So they're sort of like, so I think it's all kind of like flowing from there.
Well, that switched gears.
So hard, yeah. Yeah, and I happen to know that the new editor, who was like a speechwriter in Washington, so he's like the new editor. I went to college with him like way back in the day. And yeah, so it's, so when he was like, I need stuff, I sent him like a bunch of like short humor stuff. And he was like, political. And I was like, okay. So I wrote a bunch of political stuff. And then it's just, it's been a bit of a negotiation. I think they're still trying to figure out what they're about as well.
I mean, so the stuff that you sent me, I mean, it seems like you have a plethora of content though that you sent, I was complaining. I was like, Faulty, you got to send me something for Weekly Humorist. And then like that day, you're like, here's some stuff I just banged out, and it was like this hilarious thing about the White House memo to the White House handyman.
Yeah.
And that was great.
Thanks, man.
So funny, so specific.
Oh yeah, that was based on that. Well, they had closed it for renovation, so so I decided to riff on that.
He's doing a bit of a White House flippers.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this place sucks.
Yeah,
I hate this fucking place. It doesn't have nearly enough gold.
Oh God.
So then I've been
that
to a couple
truly
of...
was the renovation though. They put in gold curtains. That was like one of the big.
Was
things.
It really?
Yeah. I mean, it's like this dude is so hard to satirize because it's like anything that you think of, he does.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, he's a cartoon of himself.
Yeah.
And he became a cartoon of himself years ago.
In the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a horrible photo and I thought it was Photoshopped and apparently it wasn't. It was like him playing golf and he had like shit his pants.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't think he probably shat his pants.
I think he like slid down a hill or something.
Yeah,
no,
I think
it was, like,
he,
but
they were just
exactly
they were just like,
like
dirty, but it was like right in his butt crack of this like light khaki pants. You're just like, oh my God. Like, that's a terrible photo.
And that's also a terrible photo of our president. I mean,
yeah,
that's
it's
the thing
not even
that's
doctored.
Like,
that's real.
Ugh, the ghosts are still coming out, man. I don't know when it stops.
I don't know. So, on top of all these other things, you also, what did I want to ask about? Oh, A Night of Humorous readings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A Night of Humorous readings is something you do once a month, mm-hmm. every Monday at Hi-Fi Bar.
Hi-Fi Bar, yeah.
And it is a bunch of people reading hilarious things that they've written in The New Yorker or a Bystander or whatever. That's coming up this Monday.
This Monday, yeah. So we got a show coming up on Monday. Yeah, we've been doing it for, oh my God, our 4-year anniversary is in March.
Wow, 4 years?
Yeah.
I've only been to like 2 of these.
I know. And it's always been in that same room. I think we like...
Is it getting bigger? It seems like it's... I think I went...
When
it was a show that was associated with Bystander.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a big show because that was like a big show.
It was a big one-off, yeah.
And then I went to another one recently that was just about the show, but it also was like sold out.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's... I think... There's no seating. It's a small space, which works in our favor. So, like, if we get... I guess it's not super small. It's, like, medium.
Yeah.
But what the advantage of it is, like, if we get a good crowd, it feels packed and it's hot.
Yeah.
And if we get a small crowd, it still feels like a full room.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we... For the first, like, year and a half, it, like, really ebbed and flowed. And we've been pretty consistent for the last, like,
you're good
two
at getting
years.
The word out.
Yeah.
You're
and we have
active.
A consistent. I try to keep active. I try to keep active on my social media.
You do.
It's.
I am inactive.
I think it's like part of the hustle, man. I mean, it's like
you gotta
just
be...
gotta get your name under people's noses, so that when your stuff goes out, they're like, "Where do I know this name from?" Oh, from him shouting on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn constantly.
But if you're doing all of this stuff, where you actually have to show up and perform and do improv and like when do you do the development part, like, you know, when are you creative, like you're home, like do you sit down and like how do you, like what's your process to actually write an article if you're all, you know, you're so busy on all the other stuff,
yeah.
how do you, like, you know, you sent me something and you're like, yeah, just bang this out. Like, do you sit in the morning and you're like, you know, what are the headlines? And then you just write something?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, like, I'm a big news junkie. So, like, I definitely, I wake up every morning and I listen to, like, truly, when I'm lying in bed, I listen to the Politico playbook audio briefing, which, like, the Politico playbook is basically just, like, super inside baseball DC stuff. So I listen to that. It's like a 3-minute podcast. And then I listen to The Daily from the New York Times. And as I'm, like, making my coffee, read the news. I read the headlines in the Times, headlines in the Washington Post, headlines in Politico. And then I sit down and I start writing. So it's, like, all... You got to, like, refill the well. So I, like, constantly go to the well, get new stuff. And I love politics.
How do you make sure... And this is the problem that I think a lot of people have, at least with Twitter and joke writing, is how do you not duplicate something that someone else has already thought of? Because everybody has so much information now.
I know.
And how do you not copy? Yeah.
Tweets are like cheap as water.
Yeah. It's like, how do you not copy another person's idea? Because everybody has the same idea, especially comedy people. Because we all go to the first joke, right? So you're like, oh, the first joke everybody's already done. Blah, scrap that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fourth, fifth, or sixth idea... How do you not copy?
I honestly don't think about it, really. Yeah. I mean, like, especially for Twitter.
Does it make you not want to read other people's jokes because you don't want to copy stuff?
You not really. I mean? No, I think if I see something and I like something and then I go down to write and I'm like, I think I've heard this before, then I'll be like, I for sure read it on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, the reality of the thing is... One, nothing I'm doing is probably going to, like, jump to prominence enough that somebody's, like, you know...
It's no, not, one's going to care.
Yeah, exactly. It's not... I'm not, like, you know, I'm not going to get into, like, a Dane Cook, Louis C.K. kerfuffle, because, like, nobody's going to give a shit of, like, this New Yorker piece smells very similar to something I saw, you know, some obscure Politico on Twitter tweet.
This New York show,
exactly. It's like, I'll give you half of my pay, and, like... You'll be happy. But so I don't know. I try not to worry about it. I know that, like, there's more joke writers. I mean, the fact that, like, everyone that, like, Jake Tapper is writing a shitload of jokes.
Jake Tapper. You know, he's a very good cartoonist.
Is he really?
From CNN?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way. I know he's published 2 pieces on McSweeney's.
He was.
We want to get him for our reading now.
I feel like he was, before he was a CNN guy with a show, I feel like he was a newspaper cartoonist.
Interesting.
I think he started out drawing.
Huh.
And then he does drawings that sometimes show up on CNN as, like, part of his show.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I would love it. If you could get him for one of your shows, I'm going to go to your shows. I'll be at your show on Monday.
Hell yeah.
Just because that's going to be, like, my new regular thing I do.
It's fun.
Well, it is fun.
And you can pick up a ton of writers there too. I mean, like, don't feel free to...
I'm gonna, you know, I'll poach.
Yeah, please.
I'll poach people. Be like,
we're not paying them, so
I'll be like, you know what, the bystander sucks.
Yeah, but just start a bunch of beefs.
Yeah, I'll just start. I like Bystander, and I like New Yorker, and I like Above Average, and I like Funny or Die. Like, I'm a fan of everybody that is a writer. So this episode, podcast is called Talkward because you have to have an awkward story.
An awkward story, yeah.
A cringeworthy, horribly inappropriate, or whatever story, and you have to.
You have to tell a fun story.
I
have one from when I was very little.
Little, like?
Like, young.
Like 5? 10?
I think I was 4 or 5.
Okay.
And so I, like...
This will have less booze involved, I guess.
Well.
Oh! Hello.
Got into the still. No, I...
Where did you grow up? In the mountains of West Virginia?
I grew up in Westchester. This is a very ritzy still.
Is your family still in New York City?
Yeah. So I was born in NYU Hospital. Actually, in the same... I was born, like, right next to Ronan Farrow. Every time I see him, like, in the news, I'm always like, maybe we got switched at birth.
Maybe.
Maybe. Who knows? I could be the one who's maybe Frank Sinatra's kid.
Possibly.
Who knows? But yeah, so I was born at NYU Hospital, born in New York. And then, you know, when my sister was born, we got priced out. We moved up.
Okay.
Moved up to the suburbs.
So you're the oldest?
I'm the oldest of 2.
Okay.
Yep. And so we're in this little house. So this is the story. We're in this little house. And I'd always... anytime there'd be a curse word, I'd always like mimic it. That was like kind of my thing as a little guy. So like we got free tapes from an Upper West Side videotape place because they were playing a movie. And
what was it called?
The videotape place?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Mine was called Errol's Video.
Where was it?
Maryland.
Okay. Okay. I don't remember what this place was called. I mean, again, I was like two. And I was in the little like baby papoose and they were showing some movie where somebody was saying shit. And I like saw people, I think my mom like flinched and I saw it. And so I started saying shit over and over and over again. And my mom shrewdly like made it into a thing and they got free tapes from the guy. So this is like in the same vein. We're in this house. I overheard, there was a dog that was like pooping on our lawn a lot.
Mm.
And I'd overheard my parents talking about it. So one afternoon, I'm sitting out on the front stoop with my dad, and this dog comes by, and I like stand up and I march down to the sidewalk with the dog, and I look at the guy and I go, "My dad says that if your dog shits on our lawn one more time, he's gonna beat its head in with a fucking shovel." And the guy looked at me, 4 or 5, looked at my dad, and my dad goes, "Meh, kids," and then it never happened again.
Kids. And what are you gonna do?
And it worked out.
These fucking kids.
But it was just a thing of like, anytime I would like notice taboos.
Yeah.
And anytime someone would break one, I would pick it up. And that's me.
That's pretty direct.
It's very direct. And it fixed the problem.
You finding that you're able to take that kind of action now as an adult, like in New York City apartments? So like you have a leak and you're like, "Hey, landlord, if this leak continues."
Yeah.
So you're a comedy guy. I'm very proud of you, the amount of stuff that you've done.
Thank you. Oh, I have a magazine coming out soon. I should pitch that.
You have a magazine?
Yeah, so...
You know, I run a magazine you write for. What are you talking about?
No,
you have a magazine.
No, it's not a competing magazine. It's a one-off. It's whatever. More properly a book.
This podcast is over!
He's smashing all the glass! No, so I did The New Yorker.
Yes.
Which was a parody,
yes.
A full satire of an issue of The New Yorker.
Yes.
And the spiritual sibling.
And they didn't
sibling,
sue you.
They didn't sue us.
Did they know
Did
about
I tell you?
You
this story?
No.
So we had a little launch party also at the Hi-Fi Bar, which is a great bar. You should go there if
I
you're
will.
In the Lower East Side.
It's hard to get there, FYI.
It is. Oh, I'm just I'm talking
ass.
To our listeners.
No, I know.
It's close to the L. And it's also close to the...
Close to the L
F.
Is not useful. It's not useful to anybody.
I guess that's true. Oh, but you can take the F, right? Ugh. Park Slope?
Yes, actually, that's true.
Yeah. Second half, maybe it's right there. So, yeah, so we did The New Yorker, and we had a little launch party, and a bunch of New Yorker people came, and we were, like, one, so flattered. It was so nice. Like, a bunch of their writers, a bunch of their editors, and they were like, "This is so funny." And we're like, "Oh, this is such a great sign. You won't sue us, huh?" And they're like, "Oh, that's Condé Nast. We don't care, but they maybe will care."
They're like, "We're not legal."
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were
totally
like
totally different.
They
area.
Were like, "We love it. I'm sure Condé hates it." Like that was, I think, the line.
I'm
that
sure
someone
your
said
life
was.
Is over.
So yeah.
So when that came out, was that a print edition?
No, that was only a PDF,
and it looked exactly like The New Yorker.
Yes,
fonts and all that kind of stuff.
Did it all.
When did that come out?
That came out last July.
Can people still get it?
Yeah, it's on. Just Google The New Yorker. N E U J O R K E R.
And what type of jokes are in there?
It's everything. I mean, so it's like we literally took an issue, we ripped it apart, and we parodied every single thing. So there's fake ads, there's fake letters to the editor, there's fake legal copy, there's full long-form essays.
And who all did? Is this you and the guys from?
From the reading night, yeah.
From the reading
night? It's a bunch of, it was like, we all in all, we had about like 40 people contribute.
Wow.
Between like cartoonists, illustrators,
did you get like
writers.
Bob? Did you get Eckstein?
We didn't get Eckstein, but we got a bunch of other New York people. Actually, I'm trying to remember who didn't want us to say their name. But we got a bunch of great people. There was a few people who were afraid they were going to get like blackballed. But as it turned out, the New Yorker people liked it.
It seemed like in the past couple of months... Mm. There's a new regime at the New Yorker for humor.
There is, yeah.
So,
well, for cartoons.
So what's his name left? I'm sorry to say what's his name.
Mankoff.
Bob Mankoff left.
Big old Bob Mankoff, yeah.
And he went over and jumped ship, went to the Esquire.
Esquire, yeah.
And Esquire is supposedly going to be doing a humor section similar to the New Yorker,
yet
though I have
see
not
it.
Seen it.
Yeah.
And also cartoons.
Get to see it.
So the new people at the New Yorker are letting in a lot of our people.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Yeah, I think that's...
Like a younger group?
A younger group, and it's it's Emma Allen, and she's great.
Okay.
And she's explicitly trying to get more, like, younger people, more women, more people of color. So, like, and you can actually see it. Like, it's it's cool.
I've definitely seen a bunch of cartoonists who I've worked with who are now getting accepted, like, a lot.
Oh, yeah. Because I think it was pretty calcified under Mankoff, because he'd been there since, what, 1743?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, about the...
It was very, like, Columbus era.
Yes. How many 1812 jokes can you get?
I don't know.
And I love a good War of 1812 joke. White House got burned down. Canada. The Canadians sacked D.C. There's nothing funnier than that. But yeah, so we did that whole issue. So it's literally everything. So
a lot of people bought it?
We gave it away for free.
A lot of people downloaded it?
A lot of people downloaded it. It got a ton of great press.
That's good.
And so we immediately started working on the second project, which is literally being printed as we speak somewhere in the Midwest. And then will be mailed to us. And it's called Paul Ryan, the magazine. And it's a 200-page lifestyle magazine about and for Paul Ryan. So we have a lot of the same writers who are very well pedigreed, a lot of the same illustrators. And yeah, it's going to be...
And how many issues are you going to have
printed? It's just a one-off. Oh my God.
It's taken one print?
It's taken us a year. Yeah, so I'm not doing this again. And hopefully Paul Ryan will be out of office by the time we'd have another one ready.
Hopefully.
So it's not a true magazine. It's a book, but we're styling it.
How many pages
parody,
is it?
192.
That's a lot.
It's a fucking lot of work. Yeah, it's been a bear. But we have a beautiful cover of a full a pen and ink reclining nude of Paul Ryan.
Who did that?
Kevin Alvier, who's a great, great illustrator. It's so beautiful. And we have like tons of really fun stuff. So that's gonna be in print soon. And you can order it on Wisco, as in Wisconsin, hunk.com. WISCOHUNK.
WiscoHunk.
Yeah.
.com.
As in the hunk from Wisconsin. Paul Ryan. I'll link to it.
So where can people find you on the Instagram and the Twitter and all of that stuff? You're very active and on the social media.
Trying to get on the hustle. On Twitter, I am at James Folta, F-O-L-T-A.
Verified.
I don't know how I slipped in under there.
I don't know either.
I also don't think that it gets you anything.
It gets you some credibility.
It gets you a little credibility. Yeah. But with who?
I don't know. Other writers who are trying to get verified. Yeah.
I think that's the only
people that care. It's
bitterness.
It's bitterness. Yeah, it's just bitterness. People that got rejected.
But it's truly every single that's every single thing that I've ever done. I mean, it's like that's the coin of the realm in comedy is bitterness.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Twitter.
It's always like, I thought of that first, but I didn't do
it. Right. Should have been me.
Fuck
Somebody
that.
Took
Fuck
my
that
slot.
Fuck that guy. Yeah,
I should have hosted the late night show.
Yeah. So, James Folta.
James Folta. James Jams on Instagram.
James Jams on Instagram.
And
your
then.
Your UCB show, you're part of the Herald team, Moose.
Mm-hmm. We're and up you most guys, Tuesdays.
Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And then every first Monday of the month. At Hi-Fi Bar,
yes,
it is a night of humorous
readings. Humorous readings, yeah.
And that is there a website for that?
Yes, it is eveningofhumorousreadings.tumblr.com.
That's not long
at
all.
It's not long at all. What you should do is just go to jamesfolta.com, and it's all there. And the website is short; you don't even have to scroll, and you can get all the links that you need. And there's a picture of me as a little kid. It's fun as hell.
Well, this is great.
Thanks for having me, man.
This is super fun, James Folta.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it.
Please support the Weekly Humorous.
Well, this is Talkward. I'm Marty Dundix, editor-in-chief of Weekly Humorous magazine. Follow us at Weekly Humorous. Follow me at Marty Dundix. Make sure you sign up for our e-newsletter at weeklyhumorous.com. This podcast is distributed by Humorist Media, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, James Folta.
Thank you.
All right.